Sometimes I start with a question. I like to get you to start thinking. So I'm going to start today with this question. What are you doing? What are you doing? You ever talk to your kids and go, and you ever ask your kids that? What are you doing? And you're asking them because you want them to think about their actions. How many sometimes know we can just go through life in this series of getting up, going to work, coming home, taking care of the house, taking care of the kids, taking care of our checkbook, balancing our checkbook. Oops, it doesn't balance. Oh, well. Hello? You know what? Time to go to bed. You know what? It's a nickel off. It's a dollar off. It's $10 off. Okay, no big deal. I'm going to bed. Why? Because I got to get up tomorrow and start the whole process over again. And we go through it and over and over and over. But tonight I want to ask you, what are you doing? How many recognize James says our life is but a vapor? You know what? One of my favorite stories is we were living in a small apartment, Tamara and I, and we hadn't been married for very long. And Tamara, who is a wonderful cook, was grilling some sausages, and she left them on the grill and wasn't paying attention. And in a short period of time, the whole apartment was filled with smoke. You ever experienced that? Here's the interesting thing. What do you do when that happens? Yeah, run. Okay, so after you turn it off and you recognize your apartment or your house didn't burn down, what do? You turn off the smoke alarm. Then what do? Then you open the doors and the windows. Now here's what I want to say. How many recognize I could come over to your house in probably about 25 minutes after that incident and, you'd still smell some smoke. But how many know I could come over to your house about 25 minutes after that and there would be, and I couldn't tell that anything happened. Why? Because the smoke dissipates, you open up the windows and boom. That's what the Bible says your life is like. You want me to prove it to you? You know what? We could take a walk at Rose Hills, and you would see name after 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 name upon name upon name upon name. And most of these people, haven't rocked your world, haven't affected your life whatsoever. You say, yeah, but Pastor, I don't know those people. I don't know those people. Well, this is going to sound harsh, but I just am trying to be real. I'm trying to, how many know a pastor that's honest is a good thing?
Amen.
Okay. Let me just teach you this. You can be honest. Let me tell you one of the reasons why Hope is such a special church. One, because we're going to tell you the truth, and B, there's an expectation of not beating down at this church, but lifting up at this church. Amen. Do you understand the difference? Yeah. You ever listen to preaching and you feel like, man, you just feel beat up after you're done. You're like, oh, man, I feel like I was in a boxing match. You know what I mean? I don't do this and I don't do that. And I, you know what? And you can feel that way. Well, I want to be honest with, I want us to evaluate the question, what are you doing? So there might be some points that you might feel confrontation. But let me tell you what, if for most of you, if you didn't care about God, if you didn't care about bettering your life, you'd be at home right now watching I Love Lucy. Amen. In other words, let me tell you about Tamara and I. We believe in you. And even in your imperfections, you know what? And you know what? Just in the course of time, we've all got them. But we believe in you. But if all that happened and we came on over and you opened up the windows and stuff, boom. That you wouldn't even know. You'd smell it, but you wouldn't even know it by sight. And I would say, and here's I said all that to say this. There's people at Rose Hills, and you could go to their tombstone, and they haven't affected you a bit. Here's the scary thing. They haven't affected anybody else a bit. Hello? See, they lived their life, and maybe they lived 40 years, maybe they lived 50 years, maybe they lived 60 years, maybe they lived 80 or 90 years or 100 years. But they didn't really affect anyone. There was no residue from their life. And so, how many know that's true? Many people. Well, what are you doing? Because the truth is, what we learned on Sunday, you have been positioned in a place to make a huge difference. You know what? You need to be effective. You know, and I'm not asking you to be like me. I'm asking you, we don't need another Drew in this world. Amen. You guys are kind. You guys are kind. But you understand, there is a uniqueness about you that if you are acting like me, then there's not you. That's what I'm saying. Hey, I'm not saying I'm not valuable. Somebody say amen to that. But what I'm saying is there's a uniqueness that you need to be you, but you need to be your best you. Does that make sense? So back to the question, what are you doing? This isn't in my notes, but I want to turn there first. So, 3 John. So, in the almost to Revelation, very end, 3 John. And there's only one chapter. So, we'll start with verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you might prosper in all things. Here's what God wants. And you say, yeah, but Don wrote that. I know, but he wrote that inspired by the Holy Spirit. This is a godly man, and here's what he wants. He wants his people to prosper. He wants God's people to prosper. And that is also what God wants. Now notice, can we study the word? Yes. How many know these words mean things? In which way does God want you to prosper? In all ways, in everything, in every area of your life. Listen, when you're listening to Christian radio and you listen to pastors say, well, you know what, it's not God's will that he heals everyone. You know what? Well, guys, filter things through the Word of God. Amen. Just because somebody says it doesn't mean it's true. Amen. Amen. I can tell you the Kool-Aid man's going to come in 30 seconds, right? You know who the Kool-Aid guy is? That don't mean it's going to happen. I'm just teaching. We've got to learn the Word of God. You say, yeah, but I've had friends that I prayed for and they died. I'm not talking about experiential Christianity. Listen, let me tell you what. if your theology is based on experience, you're going to be all over the page. Amen? All over the page. But the word says that God wants us to prosper in all things. Somebody say all things.
All things.
And be in health. Why is God saying that? Here's why. Because he wants to denote specifically this area of health. And he has always done that, the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is never one person that Jesus came up to concerning healing. For instance, when he asked the blind man, what do you want? And the blind man said, I want to see. God didn't say, ho, 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 wait a minute, Jackson. You know what? I can't do that. There wasn't one sickness or one disease that God ever refused, not one, to say, no, that's not my will. I'm telling you, you can't find it in the Bible. You know, I like what the maidservant understood. You know, even a servant can understand this. Amen? Somebody is not, how many know wisdom doesn't come from colleges? Amen. And the maidservant said, you know what? All you have to do is go see the prophet. Do you remember this? The man who had leprosy? Man, all you have to do is go see the prophet. See, what did she know? She knew that God is our healer. Can you say amen?
Amen.
But here's what I want you to catch. I wanted to catch a lot of things. One, I want you to catch that God wants you to prosper in all areas. God wants your relationships to be good. God wants you to have a healthy marriage. Amen? And I know that's a lot of work. Amen? Because you have to love someone who is irritating. If you're sitting next to your spouse, don't say amen too loudly, okay? But how many know that's the truth? Right? But how many know the Bible says love never fails? How many want to be loved over your failures? Man, I do. Well, the same measure you measured out is how it's going to be measured back to you. Amen. So unless you are the perfect spouse. I didn't get any amens on that one, right? Okay, but here's my point. My point is, in all areas, and be in health, but here's what I want you to catch. Did I ask you what you're doing? Just as your soul prospers. Somebody say, just as.
Just as.
What does that mean? Here's what that means. That means that your life can't jump above where your soul is. Amen? I don't use these health analogies to criticize anybody or judge anyone. I just say it because we can all laugh and we can recognize. How many know you go to the hospital and your blood pressure is high and your whatever levels are off the chart wrong, and you know what? It is a correlation with predominantly, not always, but many times, what you are putting in your mouth. Yeah, I didn't get a lot of amens on that. Come on, can we be honest? How many know there's a correlation between, you know what? And it doesn't mean, you know, how many ever recognize some skinny people can be absolutely in bad shape? Don't always allow that to be the, you know, predominant thing, because I know some skinny people whose metabolism Metabolism is crazy, and they just, you know what? But they're eating junk, and they're not healthy. They're skinny, but they're not healthy. So I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is a correlation between, and here's what the Bible says. So here's what you can't do. You can't prosper beyond where your soul's at. Does this make sense? It's why if I had my choice, you know what? Thank God. Look at your neighbor and say, thanks for coming on Wednesday. Okay. Now look at your number, other neighbor and say, you're really smart for coming on Wednesday. I've used this stat before, but it just proves my point, and I love using it. You got someone who comes once a month to church, a couple, they come once a month to church, and you have a couple that comes twice a month to church. Guess which one is less likely to get a divorce? Twice. You got another couple, so that twice a month couple, then you got another couple, and they come every week. Guess which one of those two are less likely to get a divorce? The one that comes every week. Then you have a fourth couple, and they come not only Sunday, but they come Wednesday. Guess they come twice a week. Guess what couple of those two are less likely to get a divorce? The one that comes twice a week. Amen. And I guarantee you, they didn't do this study. They didn't break it down this much. But if they had another couple and they were coming Sunday and Wednesday and reading their Bible every day, I guarantee you they would be the couple out of all of them that would be less likely to get a divorce. Who can tell me why you think that is? Who can tell me why you think that is? Okay. Look at this and tell me how come you think that is. Because they're not, well, listen, we're not coming. I'm not doing a cooking class. I'm not teaching you how to make good brownies. My mom used to make these brownies. Oh, my goodness. And she made these brownies, and she would, first of all, her brownies were good, but then she would put chocolate icing, frosting on top of the brownies. I mean, you look at them and gain 50, about, you know, 4 pounds just looking at it. But I tell you, they were good. Amen. But I'm not teaching you how to make brownies. I don't know how to make brownies. You know what? I don't know how to bowl. I don't know how to make brownies. I don't know how to cut hair. I ain't gonna teach you any of that stuff. Amen. We're learning the word of God. We are prospering. See, that's how your soul prospers. I mean, you can't buy a lottery ticket. Ooh, I bought a lottery. Ooh, I'm a winner. It said, you know what? Soul, 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 three souls. Woo, my soul's prosperous. I mean, that don't happen. How many know if you got a lottery ticket and you scratch it and it said million, and then the third one said million, and the fourth one said million, or the third one, whatever it is, you know what? And you were you became a millionaire. That was worth $1 million. How many know, you know what? If you're, you know, the Bible says money will ruin the fool. Wow. You know how many people win the lottery and are absolutely wish that after they hadn't won? Can you imagine that? We all looked at $58 million. Woo-hoo-hoo. Know a couple in Montebello. True story. True story. Couple in Montebello. And it was way back in the day, probably the first 2 years that I was pastoring, still going to Lucky's. Wasn't even Albertson's then. Going to Lucky's. And you know what? I had gotten a paper, and it was in my car, and I thought, I'm going to read the paper on break. I grabbed the paper, and I was walking in. I'll never forget this. It was a Sunday. And I opened it up, and it was $58 million winner of the lottery, the biggest winner up to that point in California. They were the biggest up to that point. And I looked at it, And it said this couple was from Montebello. And I looked at it and I thought, But you know how the pictures are all grainy and it's not a real good picture in the paper? And I looked at them and I thought, would that be cool if they went to Hope Community Church? I thought that. And the next day, guess what I found out? That couple went to Hope Community Church.
Really?
True story. And guess what? The last day that I ever saw them, the week before they won that lottery. Less than 2 years later, I was at that man's funeral. True story. True story. And let me tell you what was happening in their life. They had just started coming to a church. Maybe they had come 8 or 10 times. But they had all kinds of issues. I don't say that to rip on them. I just say, how many came with all kinds of issues? See, everybody get your hands up. Okay. So you understand, I wasn't talking about nobody. I was talking about everybody. You know what? But my point is, that money didn't solve their problem. See, all you know what money will do? All money will do is, how many know, if you get money, you're still going to have a car when you don't have very much money. You got it. How many got a car? Okay, so I don't got very much money, but I got a car. All right, praise the Lord. How many know all money's going to do is get you a faster car? All money does is it excels whatever issue you got. Amen? But it doesn't solve anything. Actually, it can solve some things, but I don't have time to go through all that teaching. Sorry. I'm just saying that the main issue is your soul prospering. The main issue is your soul prospering. That's why the Bible says in the Old Testament, it says to protect your heart. What's your heart represent? It represents who you really are with all diligence. You know what the psalmist is saying? I don't care what you do. The main thing you got to focus on is developing you, your heart. That's the main thing. Because out of that is going to flow all the issues of life. However you function, however you to the success, and please understand when I use these words prosperous and success, I'm not coming from some kind of Hollywood business aspect. I'm just talking about you being healthy in every area of life. Does that make sense? It's all I'm talking about. But I don't want to get away from the financial area in your life. Because all areas mean all areas. How many of God wants you to be able to pay your bills? You know, when they questioned God, Jesus about the temple tax, you know what? And Jesus says, well, you know, render to Caesar what's Caesar's, you know what I mean? He doesn't get the apostles together and say, you know what, this is crazy. We ain't paying no stupid tax. You know, those Romans are crazy, you know what I mean? He didn't say that. You know what he did? He prophetically talked to one of the apostles, tells him where to get the money, amen? Is that not right? Man, can we read the Bible, amen? And stop letting, you know what, people who don't know the Bible teach us the Bible. You know, say there's some kind of blessing in being impoverished. There's no blessing in being impoverished. That's not a blessing, amen? If it was, then why in the world is God prospering, you know what, his children? Can somebody say amen? Does this make any sense? I'm not talking about what you've heard religiously. I'm talking about according to the word. Absolutely. But how many know that can be emphasized too much where we get disturbed? The Bible says a unequal balance is abomination to the Lord. And you have people who are focusing on just the financial aspect, and they got all kinds of money, and they're miserable. Who is the guy who was the Grinch in the movie? I won't quote Jim Carrey very much. Trust me, I won't quote him very much. But Jim Carrey says this: everyone ought to become rich, that they would understand how it brings no real satisfaction. I'll quote him for saying that. My only point is, all areas mean all areas. But the main thing that we have to focus on, did I ask you the question yet? What was the question? I ask you that question, what are you doing? So the question is, you know what? The focus is your soul being prosperous? That has got to be the main focus. Because if it is the main focus, everything flows from that. Does that make sense? Everything becomes healthy out of that. I talk to so many people and their life isn't perfect, but since they've been coming to this church and allowing and sitting under good teaching, their life has gotten better. Could somebody raise their hand and testify that that's true? Okay, keep your hands up. This is why. Put your hands down. This is why. Because when you come here and hear the uncompromised word, you're challenged and your soul is prospering. So there's a reaping and a sowing principle that's taking place. And as you apply that in your life, you're starting to prosper in this area. It's not rocket science. You didn't get lucky. Amen. You invested in yourself in spiritual things. And the Bible says, don't be deceived. God's not going to be mocked. Whatever you sow, whatever you invest in, you're going to reap. And when you decided that you're not going to just start coming Sunday, you're going to start coming Sunday and Wednesday, you doubled your investment. Does that make sense? Pastor, what are you trying to get people to come Wednesday? Listen, I'm trying to get people to come. Come to, every time the doors open, come. Come to Men of Hope. Come to Women of Hope. Come on Sunday. Come on Wednesday. You know what? If we have a men's breakfast, come there. If we have a women's breakfast, come there. If we have a Christmas tea, ladies, go to Christmas tea. Go to every time we open the door, you come. Amen. Amen. And if you're sick on Saturday, you know what? Have an expectation. Call upon the elders of the church. They'll pray the prayer of faith of you. If you have sin, it'll be forgiven, and it will raise, and the prayer of faith will raise up the sick person. Amen. You don't have to not come Sunday. You know what? You pray on Saturday, and you'll be healed that you can come on Sunday. Amen. Amen. Can you say amen to this? Man, I never heard any pastor say that. Well, that's just the Bible. Shouldn't we use the instruction of the Bible to help us? Yes. Amen. Are you learning something? Yes. Luke chapter 10. Wow, that was a long intro. I better fly through the rest. But that's all right. That's okay. We will. Luke chapter 10. And let's start with verse 38. Now it happened as they went, they entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words, indicating at some point in time How many know also means at some point in time, they both were sitting at his feet? Did you catch that? But Mary was distracted. She got distracted with much serving. She was sitting at his feet, but then she got distracted. She thought, man, there's, you know what? It's lunchtime. Oh, look, it's lunchtime. You know what? And I need to get up. I need to start making some chimichangas. And she went into the, how many like chimichangas? Come on, hallelujah. With a good, how many know there's nothing like a good chimichanga with some good salsa and some guacamole, amen? I'm just saying. Okay, so she's sitting there, and that's what she starts to think. You know what? This is our guest. It's Jesus. Yada, 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 yada. But she got distracted. See, here's the point. The point is, we get distracted by stuff, and what it takes away is it takes away from us investing in our soul. And what God says is the only thing that really matters is the investment in your soul. Because the investment in your soul will cause you to prosper in all areas. You will not prosper beyond what your soul prospers. So you'd be farther down the line. See, listen, people just get busy. But nobody thinks, oh, I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to have an awful life. I'm just going to have an awful life. I'm going to get so busy doing stuff, and it just, everything falls apart, and that's what I want. See, nobody thinks that. That's why it's so important to come to church. Here's why. Because you have to recalibrate. Somebody say recalibrate. You're sitting here and you hear the word of God, and what it does, it cuts through the bone and the marrow and the excuses and the all the stuff that you come up with and all the crazy, stupid things your friends tell you and your neighbors and even your relatives. And you sit here and it cuts right through to your heart and it says, let me tell you what's really important. And it cuts through that junk. And it, you know what it does? It judges your intentions. God is saying to you tonight, let me tell you what. Let me remind you the truth. You think going to college and, you know what, and having your kids, you know what, involved in this sport and that cheerleading and you know what, and getting your nails done and getting your hair done and you know what, and going to the mall, and it's, Pastor, you can pretty picky there. Listen, I'm not saying it's evil to have your hair done. I'm not saying it's wrong to have your nails done. I'm not saying you can't, you know, play softball every once in a while. I'm not saying any of that. But I am asking you, what are you doing? Because just like a good parent will ask a child, what are you doing? You want that child to evaluate what they're really doing, what they're really investing, what they're really, why did you do that? What are you doing? Can I tell you what? We need to invest that in our lives. We need to sit back in our life and say, you know what? Are there some things that I have put up to a priority that are not high on the priority list? Amen. You know, you can talk to people all the time. You can talk to people all the time. Can I go somewhere? It might hurt. I said it might hurt. So we're redoing this roof. It's a Monday. It's a holiday. And I ask all men to show up in the morning for 3 hours if you can. The guy who is doing the roof comes down from San Francisco, is a roofer, is Lindy's nephew. And so let me tell you a story. Lindy, one day, to go up to Lindy, and I go, Lindy, what's going on? Oh, it's so awesome. My nephew comes down all the way from San Francisco, and our roof had all kinds of leaks. We needed a new roof. He came down and put a new roof on our house for free. This gracious man said, you know what? Lindy is my best aunt. I love her with all my... Anybody who knows Jack and Lindy knows, you know what? You ain't going to get better than those two. Quality. And so, boom, he does it. She's ecstatic. Now, let me tell you what we did. When we had a little bit of money, we were able to redo the roof in the North Sanctuary, and we were able to put padding. You know what? You'd be in there at 10 o'clock. I could only preach for 25 minutes, and then, you know, some of the ladies would start doing this. How many know it's hard to be anointed when you got this going on? You know, they're just like, they're saying, they're like, Pastor, can you get to your closing? So, and that was when we only had one service at 10 o'clock. We didn't have an 11 o'clock service anyway. So we were able to redo the roof, but when we redid the roof, we were able to put some insulation. We had to put the insulation on the outside, a little bit expensive. So when we did that, you know what, we just stretched as most we could, and we did this side too. Why didn't you do the backside? Because we didn't have the money to do backside, and there was no leaks. Thank you, Jesus. So I wanted it all to kind of match, so at least I did the front side, and we barely could. We did it. Praise the Lord. Well, 3 years later, 4 years later, 5 years later, you know, this every season, this roof is thank you, Jesus, is standing up. Till the last one, and we had already done the South Sanctuary, and it started to rain, and it started to drip, drip, drip all through here. How many know I am not a happy camper? Amen. So I had already asked. So when Lindy told me that, I called the guy. I said, can you come on over? Because he was down here. I said, can you come on look at our roof? He came on over, looked at our roof. He said, Pastor, I would love to help you out. First of all, this is a big old roof. And second of all, I am so busy, there's no way I can do it. So we had made a connection with a roofing company as far as getting the material at a good price, at a discount, but I still had no roofer, you know what I mean? So I went over to Home Depot. I see this guy, you know, Jackson's Roofing Company, and I said, hey, can you help us out? So I had a couple people who were willing to help, but even they were expensive. So Tamara said, why don't you call Lindy's nephew again? I said, honey, he already said no. She said, just call him again. He might, you know, it was 2 months, 3 months later. Just call me and see if he's doing it. So he calls, same thing. Pastor, I'd love to do it. I'm way too busy. 2 days later, he calls me back, says, Pastor, I got to do your roof. He said, thank you, Jesus. He said, I'm finishing up. As soon as I get done, I'm going to get in my truck. I got all the thing. You know, you get all the stuff up on the roof, but I got all the hammers and all the nails, all the stuff. He comes down. Well, that Monday, we ask, can you come on your day off, on your holiday, and just help us? Well, what did you do? We just pulled all the nails. We just cleared all the roof. And here's who was here. Here's who was here. Me, the roofer, and Edgar. Huh? You know, let me do a Scooby-Doo. Huh? See, can I tell you what happens? What happens is when we don't invest in ourselves spiritually,
I did ask you if you wanted to hear this first, right? Right, man? Okay. I'm just reminding you. You said to say it. Okay. But it's going to be good. Because you know the truth. We got to learn, man. How many came to learn? But here's what happens. When we start investing in ourselves spiritually, we start learning about what our soul is, we become more like God. Can I tell you what God's like? God is not selfish. He only had one son, and he gave that son to us that we could be in his family. That's the character of God. If you lack wisdom, ask of God who gives. How does he give? Liberally, without reproach. That's the character of God. And so what happens is when you start investing in yourself, when you start investing in your soul, when you start learning the things of God, when you start becoming a disciple, when you start learning and learning and learning and reading and reading, and the word starts to, what I said, it starts to go through all that excuse, it gets through all that like it has Edgar's life, and Edgar, you know what, who had 58,000 things to do just like all of us did, Edgar shows up anyway and says, let me tell you what, I'm going to put this priority. Does that make sense? Yeah. See, you show me somebody who serves, and I'll show you somebody who looks like Jesus. You show me somebody who looks like Jesus, and I'll show you somebody who's trying to and investing in their spirits. I'm glad you came today. See, listen, this isn't a message.
You're bad. You don't serve. You gotta serve.
That's not this kind of message. Here's why. Because I don't believe that. I don't believe we have to serve. I believe we get to serve. I understand that what Jesus said, if you keep your life, you lose it. See, we're in a different, we are making disciples. What, disciples of God? Disciples of God's kingdom. God's kingdom works differently than this world. And let me tell you what, this world is wrong. You know, listen, the road that leads to destruction, that's the wide road.
Yeah, but they're all saying this is what you should do. Well, you're going the wrong way. Amen.
You know, join the Edgars of the world. Amen. Does that make sense? Because that is the life that you're going to start to prosper. And you're like, Pastor, whoa, something's happening in my life. My life is getting better. God's ways are higher than our ways. Higher in that they're better. Better for who? Better for you. God's not revealing this stuff because he doesn't like, you know what, you. He's revealing this stuff because he does. And he tells the sisters, because the one sister's like, won't you get on her? Because she's not. God says, no. You got it all messed up. She's the one who's doing the right thing. I'm still glad you came today. See, and so what am I saying? I'm saying you start to do everything you can. I'll just go from the beginning. What are you doing? And start looking at your life. I encourage you when you get home, and I'll close with this. I encourage you when you get home that you would evaluate what your commitment is. Let's just take some practical things that'll help you with your soul. Reading your Bible every day, spending at least 10 minutes alone without the internet on or without your iPhone or away from the kids, spending time with God. you know what, is it okay that you just missed 3 Sundays a row, 4 Wednesdays? Oh, I just praise God. I just praise God. I just show up when I show up. I just sit wherever I want to sit. I think you sit here today. Bless me, Pastor. See, she evaluated. And not in a harsh way, but in a realistic way. Because let me tell you, the best thing that you'll do is you'll get real with yourself and you'll say, let me tell you what, I'm going to start making a bigger investment on my spirit. I'm going to start to develop my soul through the Word of God. And let me tell you what, tie your shoes tight, because your life will get better very, very quickly. Amen. Amen. Sweetie, you got anything to add to that? All right. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We love you. Father, I thank you for every person that's here. I pray that they receive my words. You know what? Just with a happy, hilarious heart. Glad to say, wow, I'm glad I came today. I'm glad Pastor spoke that to me. And Father, and I'm going to take that and I'm going to apply it in my life. I'm going to ask myself tonight, what am I doing? Father, I thank you for these people, for their graciousness to not only come, but to give and to serve. I thank you for the example that Edgar was to me that day. And later on to all these people that are here today. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.